every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast Super Raw. Bon appetit, as Don, Tony, and Mish dish out their opinions about the world of pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Super Raw. And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
What's up, everybody? It is Monday night, August 9th, 2021. We are back once again. It is Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony. He is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT? What's going on, everyone? Hope you guys are having a great tonight? Weekend. I'm all right, man. Thoroughly enjoyed Raw. I mean, yeah. There was definitely some hokey bits, but it wasn't a bad Raw at all.
Had a nice fun. Flow. Had a nice flow. I mean, Elias is dead.
Yeah. Ain't that a fucking trip, huh? That kind of threw me off guard. Throwing the guitar right into the fire. Doing the walk off into the sunset, if you will. Interesting. Interesting move. And if this is something forward for Elias, good. I mean, we've already got another guitarist on SmackDown right now. So, you know.
I hated the Elias segment today. Because,
really?
Yeah, because Elias, I mean, we've said it many times over the years, Elias has not done anywhere near in the ring that we thought he would by this time in his career. But there is no question, him performing in the middle of the ring and insulting the fans, you know, is entertaining. Elias, as a heel, in the ring, dissing the local crowd, was great. I mean, I think this is more of... Shout out to Chris Silver. We'll get into your question in a second. But, you know, in the past, we have Braun Strowman interacting with Elias. We've had other people. Like, I'm looking at the WWE roster on the Raw side, and I'm saying to myself, it almost feels like they have nobody... who can feud with Elias right now. What are you going to do with Jackson Riker again? Right. I mean, I don't know, man. I just think you're taking away Elias's number one attribute as a character. It reminds me of when Goldust burned the Goldust outfit in the middle of the ring many, many years ago. And when it ended up happening, he ended up putting the outfit back on because Goldust without the outfit, you know, people didn't want to see Dustin Rhodes. And I truthfully believe, you know, they made money on iTunes with Elias's, you know, little, you know, CD album, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
Guys made money. Why would you get rid of that?
I think that there's different facets of the character that you can go down. I don't necessarily think that he's never going to play the guitar again. I just think that maybe it's time for a change. I mean, right now we saw a lot of changes tonight, not just speaking on Elias, but speaking on poor, desolate, homeless Baron Corbin.
Well, you know, I want to make this clear because one fool busts my balls in the chat, but there was three things that I didn't like about Raw tonight. Everything else I enjoyed very much. And the things that I didn't like only took up about maybe 2 minutes of the entire show. So please do not get this wrong. I am not going to complain about Raw tonight. I thought it was a pretty decent show. The Elias thing, though, I just think you're taking away his strongest attribute as a WWE character. I don't think anybody wants to see Elias have 4-star matches. They just want to be entertained. And I think they're taking away his biggest attribute. Now, as far as what did you just bring up?
What do you mean? You just Barth Hogan? Old Baron Corbin?
Oh, Baron Corbin, yes. I liked it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny when Drew McIntyre is like, I'll give you money. I sound like Indian more than Scottish, but how much do you need? $100,000. That'll get me by for 3 days. Yeah, it's $200,000, $300,000. Fuck you, Claymore, done.
What does he think he is? Leo Rush.
Dude, dude, it almost is like the it's like the male version of a Karen. You know, like they feel like extra privilege that he deserves this, like he won't go down to everybody's level. You know, like, oh my God, you know, I can't believe that I have to wear like $100 shirt instead of $1,000 shirt. Can I just say one last thing about Elias? What I think would have worked better. They did the vignette and he threw the guitar in the fire. And as he walked away, you heard it say, will the WWE still walk with Elias? What I would have done is I would have had Elias come out today with a garbage can in the ring and basically tease that he's going to do another one of his singing things. And then he basically tells the crowd that none of you out there support me and everything I've done for you, and this is how I'm treated. And then he lights the garbage pail on fire, similar to what they have done over the years with other gimmicks, and let him throw the guitar in the pail on fire. They could have even done it on the rampway if they didn't want to do it inside the ring. That's what I would have done, in my opinion. But Baron Corbin,
I like the fire bit. Honestly, the vignette of the fire and him standing over it, it was a good camera shot. It was a good camera angle. The vignette overall was very finite. It felt like it was important. If he did something in the ring, I kind of disagree with you because the crowd could have poo-pooed all over it and could have taken a serious moment and turned it into dog shit. The crowd was absolutely hot tonight. Orlando did a great job of being very much on their feet. As much as me and you have talked before about WWE pumping in audio, tonight felt pretty genuine. Felt almost like a throwback to what the crowds are supposed to be like on a Monday Night Raw. But as far as when it comes to Elias, I really enjoyed the way that they did it. And I think the reason that they did it that way, though, DT, in contrast to your idea, is so that it couldn't be controlled by the crowd. It was more of a statement to be made as opposed to an interactive segment.
Okay.
But with that said, like I was just bringing up, crowd was good tonight.
Yeah.
Crowd was out there having a lot of fun, very interactive, a lot of vocal chants, and a lot more signs. I was just bitching about this the other week, too, saying, geez, man, it's almost like nobody wants to bring signs to the event. It's like everybody's allowed back in, but there's no signs. I saw a lot of signs out there tonight, which was nice and refreshing, you know? Even if it was just the same two signs going, hooray, not hooray. I'm just like, oh, all right, I get it, you know? Yeah. But, yeah.
Reed 90, what's up, my brother? What's going on? Joe Punches asks, Elias, with the super chat, Elias embracing more of heavy metal Jesus.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? To get rid of the folk singer Elias and go straight up death metal Elias. Have him play some Sepultura, some hypocrisy. Yeah.
You think he shaves the beard?
Play some Nordic metal, some satanic metal.
Yeah. Baron Corbin, it's going to take a lot for him, me to ever say that, you know, I'm kind of warming up to the guy. Yeah. Baron Corbin is close to like the bottom of the pit as far as like people that I just can't stand on TV for all these years. But I will say he is doing a pretty damn decent job in this role. It's, you know, the only thing is that, you know, when fans see him pulling up in a Ferrari still, you know, I mean, I understand it's just entertainment.
Well, he said he lost the cars tonight.
He still pulls up at the arena with the Lamborghini, Ferrari, whatever it is. I think the Ferrari. So a few fans said it earlier today. By the way, shout out to everybody who was live, giving us little details during the show tonight.
Sleeping in Kevin Dunn's production truck.
check it out, everybody. A couple of quick things. First of all, don't forget tonight, we're giving this bad boy away. That is everything inside it. And the deal, how we do it is simple. Everybody who posted a comment, in fact, I'll show you a little practice run right now. Everybody who posted a comment in last week's episode is eligible. And what we're going to do with it before midnight, because I promised everyone we're not going to make you sit for 2 hours. We're going to do it by midnight at the latest. Basically, what I'm going to do, and this is just practice, so if somebody comes up on the screen, no, you did not win. But what I'm going to do is, this is last week's show, and there is a little thing over here where we call pick a winner. And then what it does is I hit this green button, and it'll randomly pick someone's comment from last week. Whoever it picks, you have until the end of the show to go in the chat room and claim your prize. And we could match up the avatar and everything. So, you know, anybody that wants to create, you're not going to be able to. But if you don't claim it by before we're done with the show tonight, then we're going to do the contest again next week. Manic Magician Bitch, you bitch. Play some Mayhem Behemoth and Cattle Decapitation. Yeah, you want us to get some copyright strikes. Not just for playing the music, but playing shitty music, I might add.
Oh, come on now. It's awesome.
Cattle. Yeah, give me some of that Cattle Decapitation. Now, you see, if I would have picked a winner. Look, see, Sandlebaum would have won. Yeah. Jeff Collins would have won. Charlie Conway would have won, even though I wouldn't have wanted him to win. Whatever that name was. Hayes, if you win tonight, it's going to trigger a war. So I think starting next month, we have to have it where, you know, you win one contest, you know, per month or every 2 weeks or something. Because Hayes got lucky. Hayes won two in a row by luck. But I'm only kidding about the music, though. I honestly never heard any of those groups' music, and I will not knock them. But Cattle Decapitation does not sound like anything pleasant.
Isn't Cattle Mutilator the finisher of Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan?
I don't recall what it ever used to be? Using that no. term, but...
I swear I thought it was called the Cattle Mutilator.
Could be. All right. Check it out, everybody. You know, we talked about Corbin. Now, tonight on Raw, he took on Drew McIntyre. And as we said, you know, Drew started to feel a little sorry for him. He's down on his luck. All right, you need some money. How much you need to get you by, to give you a meal, a shower, $100,000. Okay, Claymore kick. So, did what it needed to do. Another thing that I particularly did not like tonight, and I honestly, Mish, would like to know your overall thoughts about it. Sure. We had Alexa Bliss. Happy birthday to Alexa Bliss, by the way. She took on Doudrop today as a result of what happened last week on Raw. Now, before we talk about what happened today, you know, I think we got to make this clear. The we want Wyatt Chance are not going away anytime soon.
Nope.
I truthfully believe the fans chanting that are not angry at Alexa Bliss. They don't want to take it out on Alexa Bliss. But because Alexa Bliss is doing a character based on the Firefly Funhouse, you know, a variation of it, that the fans are going to chant it whenever Alexa Bliss goes out there as a reminder to WWE that, you know, one of their favorite talents is gone. Now, before we comment about the chance tonight, I want to share something with everybody out there that is a pretty big deal. And, you know, you got to forgive me that I did not have the picture. I didn't download the picture, but it's okay. It took me literally 2 seconds to do. It'll be worth it. Earlier today on social media, now I know this picture is like really wide, but that's how Bray Wyatt posted it. Bray Wyatt posted this on Twitter today. You can't kill it. That makes it very interesting because if this is a guy who requested his release, why would you say it in that phrase? It almost seems like if you look at that, you could interpret that like WWE killed the character. And Bray Wyatt is sending a message that you can't kill it. Now, if you look at that, obviously it looks a lot different than the Fiend character. So, you know, we talked about it last week. We really don't know if Bray Wyatt requested his release or if WWE just chose to release him now, which is an awful odd timing because why would they wait for live fans to return, then release the guy? The only scenario I could come up with is, you know, Bray Wyatt definitely wanted time off. And now we're back to live fans and touring. And Bray Wyatt maybe wasn't ready to return. And either Bray Wyatt might have requested his release and, look, I'm not ready. You know, I need some time. I need additional time. Or WWE got a little impatient and said, look, take your time, whatever, and hopefully we get you back in the future. Now, the reason why I'm showing you this is because of something else. Now, you just saw this picture that he posted on Twitter. Check this out. This is a new shirt that was released on WWE Shop today. Now, remember, they released Braun Strowman's shirts recently because they had a lot of shirts ready to launch when they were coming back with live fans. So the Braun Strowman shirts were already printed, you know, so obviously they want to make some money off of it. Mighty Mighty. We'll talk about Murphy after we talk about this. But if you look at that, look at the facial, and then you look at this, you know, it seems awfully similar. I mean, what do you make of that?
It kind of looks like, gosh, I forgot what his name was from Star Wars, Phantom Menace. He was Darth Maul. He's got kind of a Darth Maul look to it a little bit.
Someone in the chat
right.
post it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure somebody will correct me. But no, it's not a bad design. It's a little less demonic than the Fiend mask was. Obviously, it's not dealing with latex. It almost looks a little more Wiccan or sinister in the sense of some kind of religious zealotry, which would fit Wyatt's origin story a little bit more, you know, as opposed to him actually being a demon or whatever the hell the Fiend was supposed to be. So, yeah, no. You know, growth is good. Growth is good. Change is good. New ideas from old ideas is great. You know, there's absolute value to Bray Wyatt.
It's so just not I have good no when you don't have a company to show it in.
I don't necessarily know what the future holds for Bray Wyatt, but I can't believe that people are just going to not pick him up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, of all the people that we've been talking about, and we don't have to rehash nothing, but all the people that have been released over the last few months, even one of the few people above everybody else that seems like they're definitely going to have a home somewhere would be a Bray Wyatt. I just can't see other companies not chomping at the bit to bring him into the company.
Absolutely. Reed 90 says it looks like Keeper, I think he meant Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, that's a good reference. Yeah. I remember that movie. That was good stuff. Yeah.
By the way, I want to thank Crazy Cruiserweight because he gave this to me early today. I want to share it with everyone. Main event results from today. Aaliyah beat Dakota Kai, who's about to take on Raquel Gonzalez for the championship. And Odyssey Jones beat Austin Theory. Same match from SmackDown. People clickbaiting your asses early today. Yep. Several NXT stars backstage at Raw. How many weeks now? This is four fucking weeks straight that NXT stars are in dark matches. This is very reminiscent to the early 2000s. I went to Madison Square Garden and watched Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar in a tag team in a dark match when they were still in developmental. This is nothing new. They're going back to their roots. We'll talk about NXT a little bit later. But they're going back to their roots. We've been saying this for 18 months.
Speaking of Sepultura?
Huh?
Yeah. No, you were, because we were talking about Elias earlier, and I said Sepultura, and you keep saying Roots, and Roots is an album by Sepultura. Never mind.
Okay. See, what everybody needs to understand is, when you see a house like this, it's very easy for every fucking goof out there to now write on Twitter over the weekend, wow, the foundation of NXT is done. Look at that foundation. It's horrible. Can you see? They're going to kill it. They're going to gut it. That's it. NXT is dead. Look at the foundation. We've been preparing everyone for 18 or 19 months that NXT... The problem with NXT, I guess we can talk about it right now. The problem with NXT is simple. I was so tempted to play the clip from last February show, not February of this year, February of 2020, We said NXT is starting to put themselves in a hole. And what that hole is that even though they say it, and even though AEW says it, that they are running into the trap that they're competing with AEW. They got to stick to what led to Sasha Banks and Bayley tearing out the tearing down the house at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. They have to go back to their roots and focus on building the stars of tomorrow and not trying to give blockbuster matches and big store and this, the now, because they're going up against AEW. And then they switch nights, and now they can't even pop decent ratings with bigger storylines and stronger names being pushed. They totally diverted from what made NXT a true alternative. We said this in February of last year. They got to stop it. They have to act. Remember when I said that if you have a giant restaurant and a little tiny diner opens up a couple of blocks away, even if you hear people say, wow, the breakfast there is amazing, the steak is good, and this and that, you got to focus. How many times you heard us say this for 18, 19 months now? You got to focus on what made you good and not what made other people bad. You got to do what you got to do. Now they put themselves in a major hole. Everybody that we talked about Saturday, and by the way, for those that don't know, we did a Saturday show. We talked about the NXT releases there. When I go like this, you will see a thing pop up later, and I'm going to put a little timestamp so I don't forget. But, you know, this should not be a surprise. I mean, people just clickbaiting this stuff now like it's some major alter. You know what's funny? You know, like people actually think that Triple H has been out of power for over a year. And, you know, when you see press releases like this that we talked about 2 months ago, why are they doing these tryouts in Las Vegas when they got 150, 200 people on their roster already? Because WWE keeps trying to grab every single person out there that they think is going to suddenly create magic for them. And they're not, their patience is run thin. They won't give, like the Kona Reeves, 7 years or 5 years. You can't get it done in 6 months unless you have something major, special. You know, we're going to get rid of you, and we're going to bring Nevada people in there. And if they don't work out, we're going to get rid of them 3 months from now, and I'm going to bring other people in there. This is,
and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. NXT should be a revolving door of different talents, up-and-coming talents, talents that have been on the indies that have never had a shot in WWE or NXT. It should have always been a revolving door. That's the way other developmental territories that WWE has had before too. That's exactly what they did. So it's so weird now with this bloated roster that everybody's getting sentimental about it. But the reality is WWE needs fresh talent. WWE needs fresh blood. And now you have other companies out there also vying for that same fresh talent. Why shouldn't they put their net out there and see what they can catch? Who knows? Nobody else picked up Omos, right? Omos is WWE. Who knows? Maybe there's another Omos out there. Maybe there's another version of a Bronson Reed that WWE will like. There's a lot of different categories of wrestlers that WWE needs to pick up on. So I'm not really upset by all the bus flips that have happened so far.
You feel bad, but it was necessary. You had to expect it.
They've had such a bloated roster for so long, and it's just so weird because it's like, you know, you have people like, how could this evil corporation let people go in the middle of COVID? And it's like, it's a business decision. It's not a personal one. Vince isn't going out there collecting fucking skulls. You know, this is all about trying to entertain people. And if the roster that they have or the people that they have, for whatever reason, budget cuts, et cetera, aren't the pick of what WWE wants to go with their new direction, then it's time to move on and get new people. And here's the other thing, too, and we said this Saturday. It's not like these people can't come back. It's not like WWE can't look at these guys in 6 months or a year and go, you know what? We want you back. You want to come back to the roster? Come on back. So I don't understand the sentiment behind all that. I think a lot of it is knee-jerk reaction, a lot of snowflake reactions. I think everybody's going to be fine. A lot of the successful people or the people that, you know, fans seem to like or have a feeling to I'm probably going to end up in different companies working underneath different gimmicks and different names and growing and getting more experience and expanding their rapport. You know, it's going to be a learning experience for them. And the ones that leave, that have left the WWE fold and don't end up doing anything, well,
that's on them.
You know, that's on them, right? Like, how is Vince responsible if you don't choose to continue the career? Wild, dude.
It is. But it's safe to say NXT is not dead. It is going back to its roots. That is a big difference of what people trying to portray out there. The same people that told you that WWE may have to cancel SummerSlam. The same people that told you that Bronson Reed was going over to SmackDown. The same people that told you that last week, Keith Lee, when he was going to lose to Karrion Kross, that was going to be his final match in WWE and he was going to be gone. These are the same people that kept telling you all this shit, you know, over and over. WWE is looking into bringing Thunderdome back.
You know, these
are people that are just trying to
interject on the SummerSlam bit and the Thunderdome bit. That's not necessarily wrestling fans being wrestling fans. I think that's the looming worry of the Delta and everything else that's going on. That I don't think that has anything to do with wrestling and like, oh, Vince is going to get canceled out of Las Vegas. It's not that at all. It's just the weird lockdowns that are happening across the U.S. in different areas.
No, but half the country is already vaccinated. That's something they didn't have a year ago.
True, but they're still doing these weird lockdowns. They're still
They're trying to put the fires out because a lot of people refuse to be vaccinated.
I agree, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is I don't think that news story about Vegas was a wrestling story.
There were a lot of wrestling people teasing that. You know, just because they put a question mark after it, they think it's okay to clickbait people. If it is a moronic impossibility, you know, then you don't talk about it. You know, if you see tons of people still talking about it, then obviously you got to speak out and hopefully put some common sense in them. Like last year when they were saying, no, wrestling's never going back to house shows. You know, these are people that aren't in the wrestling business. They don't understand that without wrestling fans, you know, I don't even want to get there. I'm just going to get aggravated.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not trying to segue the conversation into talking about like all this COVID stuff, but I'm just saying that I think that this is a news story that's beyond wrestling because they were trying to cancel Lollapalooza. They were trying to force people to wear masks during that. They're trying to shut down local concerts and events like that. So
yeah, Sturgis, 850,000 people. Yeah, you're going to shut it down.
That's what's out in the ether right now through different news corporations, not wrestling news sites. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Let's dispel another bunch of bullshit. And this was so reminiscent of the AJ Styles stuff, man. This got me angry too. You know, you had tons of people last week reporting that Adam Cole was offered an AEW contract. Hundreds of thousands of people tuning into this crap. And it was not true. It was not true. Now, obviously, a lot of us don't have, you know, very, very precise sources where we could turn around and say this is, we could lie and say, yeah, talk to a WWE official. Even though we are 100% certain he wasn't offered a deal. We can come up here and say, yeah, we spoke to our source or somebody within the company. But we don't lie. We're straight up. And this is the AJ Styles wrestling news world story all over again. For those that don't remember, in January of 2019 or beginning of February 2019, Wrestling News World reported that AJ Styles signed a new deal with WWE. Wasn't true. AJ Styles is still negotiating. But the deal wasn't done yet. AJ Styles publicly contacted them and say, this is news to me. And instead of being respectful to AJ Styles and going on their website and social media and say, breaking news, straight from AJ Styles' mouth, he has not yet signed a deal with WWE. You know what they actually did? They said, we believe our sources, AJ.
Yeah.
And then they had the balls. Then they had the balls to say, eventually, we'll be right. Guess what, everyone? We're going to report now that eventually, I don't want to. I can't say it. You could bring up some of the obvious. I'll use me. Eventually, I'm going to die. Sooner or later, I'm going to be right. I'm going to report it right. Shout out to BC Reviews. Loyal listener back to the audio-only days.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to start reading it, and it's going to disconnect like in 2 seconds. So let me do it this way. Little shout out. He was a loyal listener back in the audio-only days. Used to bring DT signs to Raw at WWE events. His son just got him back into wrestling. Happy he found us again. You know, now you're getting to see us in full color, living color.
Sure.
No Photoshop, unfortunately. We don't have any face apps to make us look pretty during the shows. But thank you very much, my friend. You know, we will split this, and we will definitely buy some Java with it.
Weed.
Thank you very much, my friend. Appreciate that. Absolutely cool of you to do that. That was very kind of you.
Appreciate that, yes.
Thank you, my friend. Welcome back. Welcome back. You know, you look at Raw today, full house, decent chance for Goldberg. Not everybody's thrilled about it. No, I don't think WWE is dying, as people like to put it. We're going to have Becky Lynch about to return. Sasha Banks just came back and SmackDown at a
looked
nice
great. Little... Jesus Christ. She is on fire. Sasha Banks came back with some snap.
She's Teflon right now.
Yeah. Yeah. She's doing really good for herself.
She's Teflon right now. So Adam Cole, just to finish up, and by the way, I wanted to just let everybody know we're going to go a little bit faster today because I was very sick last week. Sick to the point I couldn't even do Friday's show, even if I wanted to. I think the lack of sleep is starting to catch up to me health-wise, and we really got to trim down the shows a little bit in length. The good news is that there's no reason why we can't do a show almost every day, but 2-3 hours is a little much, especially since a lot of you out there. Viper YT, just subscribe. Welcome aboard, my friend. So, you know, the shows, we're going to trim them down a little bit in length. But also, it looks like that my Friday show will be moving to Saturdays. Everybody loved the Saturday afternoon show. By doing it at 4, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, that is much better than 10, 11 o'clock on a Friday night. So more details in the near future. This Friday is still 10 o'clock. We're probably going to do a live watch along of the first debut of AEW Rampage, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. So first hour will be a watch along of Rampage. Second hour, we'll talk about SmackDown and a few other things. And then next Saturday, we have SummerSlam. So more details in the very near future. But just to finish up the Adam Cole thing. So AJ Styles tells this website directly that you're wrong. I haven't signed a deal yet. And instead of reporting that, they call AJ Styles a liar. Well, now Tony Khan, when it comes to CM Punk and others, I can't comment. Can't comment. When he talked about other wrestlers in the past, I can't comment. Can't comment. Wants to talk about Tommy End back. I can't comment. When it comes to him talking about Adam Cole, Tony Khan's precise words were, we did not offer a deal to Adam Cole. We have not offered a contract to Adam Cole. We are not discussing a contract. So all these websites that reported that, you know what they did? Basically, they did not call Tony Khan a liar. They would not dare call Tony Khan a liar. Oh, no. No, instead, Tony Khan can't say anything. Adam Cole, you know, is still performing on WWE TV, so Tony Khan is just being hush-hush about it. Instead of just reporting, Tony Khan was on Busted Open, and Tony Khan confirmed that he's not in discussions with Adam Cole about joining AEW. Instead of just doing that, wink, wink, just like Karrion Kross tonight. I don't know what that was, but I got to mention this. 3 weeks ago, Karrion Kross's Raw debut against Jeff Hardy resulted in a loss. And a lot of people lost their shit. A lot of people that don't even like Karrion Kross lost their shit. Because it's just a way to throw more darts at WWE. Then the dumb rumor started coming out that WWE plans to have Jeff Hardy beat Karrion Kross a second time. Jeff Hardy had COVID, so the match didn't happen. We came on the shows here and told everybody that Karrion Kross was going to snap from Jeff Hardy cheating to win. And when Jeff Hardy returns from COVID, that Karrion Kross is going to start choking people out and using people as sacrificial lambs. And he is going to destroy Jeff Hardy. Now, Jeff Hardy got a lot of offense today. No shit. Jeff Hardy is still a credible WWE wrestler. I could have
the crowd was into it. That crowd had more than a couple Jeff Hardy chants. So the crowd was really into the match. Normally, you know, and I hate to say this, there's been some kind of like, even in Chicago, Kross didn't get that much of a reception. But you had Kross versus Jeff Hardy again tonight. That crowd was on their feet. They were having a good time with it.
Yeah. Kross gets the win, and then Kross does exactly what you all and we talked about a couple of weeks ago. He attacks Jeff Hardy after, beats the shit out of him, leaves him laying. The same thing that he's going to do to Joe, and left with heat. You suck chance. Booing the shit out of Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross is fine, everybody. You got to understand.
Let me ask you something. Well, before you say he's fine, let me ask you something regarding Karrion Kross, because this is the one thing that irked me tonight, was him talking into the hourglass. I swear that should have been Scarlett.
Scarlett will be back.
It should have been Scarlett. I know, but I'm just saying, Kross talking to the hourglass was a little goofy to me. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
This is what I got. This is what I got. Because I do speak to people. We have conversations. I don't go breaking news. I just spoke to a source who told me this by my pay site. I don't do that.
No, I'm just asking. I'm just telling everybody. Tonight is a little off. Yeah.
The plan right now is the reason why they put Karrion Kross on a bunch of Raws is to get NXT some exposure for Tuesday night. They want some names to make some appearances. That's why you have NXT stars doing dark matches. That's why you have occasional person in a main event, you know, WWE main event. Karrion Kross is to introduce Karrion Kross to the WWE universe that does not tune into NXT. NXT only gets 600,000-700,000 viewers on average. That is half or less than half of the Raw viewers. So they're now giving Karrion Kross 2 million viewers to do his thing. What I was told is the reason why Scarlett is not on Raw with Karrion Kross right now is, number one, they don't want to have the giant four-minute intro, the whole spectacle, because Karrion Kross is not going to be a mainstay on Raw until he is done with NXT. He is now the advertisement for NXT to tune into the next night. That's why they don't do the big intro. They don't want Scarlett on the main roster with him right now is because they don't want the WWE Universe to start insisting on Scarlett. They want all the focus on Karrion Kross. They don't want any of the spotlight to be diverted away to Scarlett. Yeah, Karrion Kross, yeah, he was all right today, but that's Scarlett. So that's what they're doing. They're basically giving him a little bit of exposure. It gives NXT a little bit of exposure also. It's an advertiser for the next night. And the reason why he lost those two matches, the Jeff Hardy putting the feet on the ropes was cheating to win. Something that Jeff Hardy shouldn't have done.
But well, he tried doing it tonight too when grabbing the tights during the roll-up too.
Right, and he did it again today. That's special circumstances. If someone cheats to win or there's a fruit roll-up or something like that, that's not a squash. Look at Nikki Ash. Has Nikki Ash defeated anybody clean yet? No. Without no rules or no interferences? Nikki Ash, still, even before champion, has yet to beat someone clean of one of the bigger stars. There's always an asterisk next to it. So Karrion Kross loses with that asterisk. He has a match with Keith Lee. And it is extremely competitive last week. Extremely. Yeah. Keith Lee won. That was necessary. Keith Lee needed that win more than Karrion Kross did. It did two things last week. And again, if people out there refuse to understand how WWE does their things, then you shouldn't cover it. You know, if you don't like it, fine, but at least understand it. I think people out there truly understand what WWE does. It's about telling a story. It's not about wins and losses all the time. That's why Sheamus will lose in a non-title match. So it makes it look like the person pinning him, should be granted a title shot. They did that with Tag Team. Do it all the time. So with Karrion Kross, he's taking on Samoa Joe in a couple of weeks. Samoa Joe has not had a match in forever. So they want to give that suspension of disbelief that, hey, you know what? Karrion Kross, he lost to Jeff Hardy. You know, he actually got suckered into, Jeff Hardy grabbing the ropes. Look at Keith Lee. Competitive match, Keith Lee. So Karrion Kross definitely can be beat. That's the thought they want to put in people's minds, that Samoa Joe may have a shot against Karrion Kross. Now you go into the pay-per-view where Karrion Kross starts getting a little bit of his momentum back. Next week is TakeOver. So him getting this win with Jeff Hardy and then getting vicious at the end, now it starts putting doubt that Samoa Joe has a shot again. But you want fans to think, Karrion Kross, he's going to beat Samoa Joe. Karrion Kross, you know what? The way it looks, they're going to take the title off of him. That's right. Their mentality. I don't agree with a lot of it, but I at least understand it. And people write as if they know nothing about the WWE formula. So Karrion Kross winning tonight is exactly what Mish and I told all of you 3 weeks ago. And then you get the cute little, and I know the first person that said it tonight, he's a good guy. I know he didn't mean anything by it. But this is what all these goofs hide behind. Plans changed. They'll report something over and over and over again. Vince McMahon changed his mind at the last minute and decided for Karrion Kross to defeat Jeff Hardy. You know why they do that? Because they know that Vince McMahon is not going to go on social media and go, "You're a liar. You're wrong. I never did that." They know nobody is going to call them out.
Right.
We could lie every fucking week about news. Why is it that since 1997, and I'm not trying to brag, but why is it since 1997, 99% of everything I've talked about, plans never changed? How come Mish, Joey Numbers, even me, when I used to do the shows with Kev, how come our shows, and we talk about everything we talk about, 99% of it, the plans never change? But for everybody else, the plans changed. Why is that? Because people just want to clickbait you. Are you getting tired of it yet? If you're not getting tired of it yet, then we'll just play the game as well. That Adam Cole stuff, instead of people just waiting, finding out, did Adam Cole really sign the deal? Our sources tell us within AEW that Tony Khan offered him a contract. I didn't offer him nothing. We're not talking about a contract. I'm not even talking. Oh, yeah, sure. Wink, wink. Yeah. Everybody's doing this. Yeah, sure, Tony. Yeah. We know you didn't talk to Adam Cole. Adam Cole's still resting. Yeah, because you do the right thing, Tony. Yeah, Tony, yeah, we knew you wouldn't do something sneaky like that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Amazing.
It's what it is, man. It's fans working fans. That's what it is.
What it is. Wow, we covered a lot of topics in a very short amount of time, 44 minutes.
Good.
Yeah, good. All right. By the way, for those on our Patreon page, tomorrow we announce the finals in the cartoon tournament. We started with 96, we're down to 2. That's the finals, the Simpsons versus South Park on your favorite cartoons. Then tomorrow we kick off our favorite stand-up comedians, 96 of them.
That's going
to
be fun.
You have to see some of these matchups. It is epic. If you're a fan of stand-up comedy, I don't ever tell people you got to sign up for Patreon. If you sign up for our Patreon, $5 gets you everything, plus hundreds of archive shows. And I always keep my promise. If you sign up and you say to me in a private message, DT, I signed up. I'm not digging the page. I'm not feeling it. I'll give you your money back. I will not address you publicly. I don't take it personally. If you, for any reason, don't like it. Now, don't stay for 29 days and then say, I don't like it. But if you sign up and it's not for you, you DM me and say, DT, don't feel embarrassed. It's not personal. You know, it's all good. So anyway, that's tomorrow. tonight, Ali telling Mansoor, it's kind of like Ray and Dominic. Just watch what I do. Just watch what I do, kid. Just, you'll learn something from me. When right. you see this picture tonight, you knew Mustafa Ali was losing against T-Bar, and that's exactly what happened. Listen to yes. me, kid. What'd you think of that match? I thought that match was freaking awesome. I want more.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a solid match. I mean, Ali did a great job. It's just Mansoor surprising him at the end. You know, now they're wearing matching jackets. Now Mansoor is kind of coming into his own. And I'm a little surprised because I did not expect much out of Ali. The one thing that's kind of bothering me, though, is that they don't make more of where Retribution came from. They don't make more of Ali's reasoning. Like, I think that this should be a little bit more of a mention. I know that they have, but I don't know. I just have to. I know, but it's the only reason that they're called Mason T-Bar. You know, it's like.
I know, but they mentioned it in passing. I mean,
They have. And it was in passing, but I thought it would be a little bit more. I don't know. I was expecting more meat on that bone.
Yeah.
A little more payback. You know what I mean? So, but that is what it is. Mansoor and Ali are doing very well together. I'm very surprised that I'm enjoying them as much as I am. So, yeah, solid match tonight. Yeah.
By the way, everybody, super chats, we will answer them in about 5 minutes. There's a Hells few yeah. of you. Yeah, I definitely want to comment on the Murphy video. Another person in jail. Please. Give me a jail that pays that kind of money to be in jail. You know, it'll be worth the wait, everybody. Just give me a few minutes. I have something to say about that Murphy prison video. Ali and Dijakovic are great in the ring together.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're leading to Mansoor and Ali versus T-Bar and Mace at SummerSlam.
That's what it feels like.
It does, right?
That's what it feels like, yeah.
But I tell you, I'm like,
which is Mansoor. Fine. Yeah.
I'm like,
Mansoor is a diamond in the rough. He's kind of coming into his own. You know, I thought the really stomp and clap baby face character would be kind of like boring by now, but no, he's got good charisma. He comes out there as a happy guy. Yeah, I actually feel better watching him. He doesn't seem like he's a complete bore.
Yeah.
In the middle of the ring, he does a good job. He had a good role tonight. Protecting Ali with Ali's shocked face. Ali did a good job of selling for Mansoor. I know he didn't hit him, but he was just selling the act so well. So, I mean, he couldn't even pick him up. He's falling on the floor and shit. It was great. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So,
yeah
Mason T-Bar together are good. Dijakovic is the man. So, yeah,
absolutely. By the way, shout out to everybody who's joining us live tonight. If you're joining us after hours, welcome. And I hope you enjoy the show. Make sure you hit that like button. And if you're new to the channel, subscribe. You know, we do lots of wrestling shows every week, and every show has a different theme to it. You know, still.
And if you subscribe on Patreon, we'll do the show topless.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, because there's no video. Patreon, it's the opposite. It's audio only tomorrow. I have done the shows topless several times. No one has just not seen it.
And I'll thank do the God show I, topless tomorrow.
No. As we said earlier, Drew McIntyre beat Baron Corbin. You know, this was Baron Corbin is, you know, the invitational 4 times a year or so. Isn't this 2 or 3 times already that Corbin has been there for 2021? Because didn't he show up earlier this year and didn't work out all that much? So we only have to worry about Corbin on one more Raw maybe for the remainder of 2021. We just talked about crossover Jeff Hardy. Alexa Bliss versus Doudrop. And as we said earlier, you know, the fans like Alexa Bliss. They know Alexa Bliss is not the reason why Bray Wyatt is gone. But they're going to use that opportunity that every time she is out there, she could change her look. She could go back to what she was before. She could be an emo girl. She could do whatever.
Yeah. Can we talk about the in-ring stuff? Her trying to do the Bray. Look, I know everybody knows that Alexa Bliss is double-jointed. Yes, thank you. Just this Bray Wyatt type stuff that she's doing with the flexible body parts and everything else like that. I'm just kind of like, ugh.
That looks like a painful sex move. I'm not thinking of perverted things for Alexa Bliss, but I told my fiance tonight, I'm like, honey, could you do that? She's like, why would I do that? So she kind of brought up a point. She goes, if I do that, I'm blocking the pearly gates.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that's actually like, you know, if you're in the mood, if your significant other does that, then that's no sex in the champagne room tonight. But yeah. I agree with you, man. Stop doing things to make people remember
right. Bray Wyatt. Make yourself you. I mean, Alexa Bliss wants to kind of move away from the Bray Wyatt character a little bit and maybe move more into what she's supposed to do. But you know who impressed me tonight? Once again, Doudrop. Look, she hits those moves. She makes everything look solid. Alexa Bliss in the ring has never been solid, ever. And tonight her offense was weak, especially up against a woman like Doudrop, who's got a lot more mass on her than Alexa Bliss does. But fuck, Piper Niven is just amazing in that ring. She just flies around, hits things. Like, even when she's missing moves, everything looks so solid. It's just like, it's really good. She's really good. I like her as kind of she's growing in a way, but in a way she's kind of regressing, because in the beginning when it was her and Eve, it was almost like a confrontational relationship a little bit. But now it seems like Doudrop is kind of becoming Eve's enforcer. I didn't like Eve slapping her around. I didn't like that at all. I thought that was too much for their dynamic. I'm sure it's going to go somewhere. Obviously, people can see that Doudrop is eventually going to, you know, turn on Eve. But I don't know. I just didn't like her slapping her, because it's like a woman that size who's self-aware wouldn't let somebody like Eve slap her around. I understand that the only way that that makes any sense is because maybe Eve was trying to slap her awake because she said that the doll winked at her, which was, oh dear Lord, is that hokey goodness or what?
You know what?
Is that I was
the bell sound?
I had douche chills.
The bell sound is what totally that. And by the way, everyone out there, this is the second thing I didn't like about Raw tonight. So I said there was three things. I didn't talk about the third one yet. This was the second thing. I mean, you know, to do that close up and then have a bell just waiting, bing, you know, yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the bell that goes off. Like if I open up a nudie magazine and I turn to the page and I open it up and like, bing, like that, that's like, that was awful. And Piper,
it's supposed Naveen, to be camp.
You know, Piper's just looking at it like, whoa. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't smoke weed, but I wish tonight I had some of RVD's stash. I can imagine people who are stoned out of their mind watching Raw tonight and then just watching the doll and seeing this and going, whoa! Yo, the doll just fucking blinked at me. I guarantee you some stoned people out there or some wired people out there tonight were bugging out. It was awful. That was
probably awful. Not, but that's okay.
That was awful. And I'm happy that the crowd didn't like it either, because that was awful.
Yeah.
Stop with the Bray Wyatt hints, because it's just going to make fans louder with the Bray Wyatt chants. And it's unfortunate that Alexa Bliss is going to be the catalyst of it. It's nothing personal against her. They all like Alexa Bliss, but whenever Alexa's out there, that chant is going to be loud, and it's not going to go away. And hopefully, in a perfect world, if Bray Wyatt needed some extra time off, maybe we'll see Bray Wyatt back in the WWE later this summer or fall. Because we're about the fall, so I would say the fall or the winter. I think he needs to come back.
He might. As far as the Alexa Bliss segment goes, it's corny. It's hokey. Don't take it seriously. Enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're dealing with two characters that are kind of hokey. Eva Marie and Alexa Bliss are both pretty hokey. I think the only serious one out of that is, of course, Doudrop or Piper Niven. The Lily doll, I thought it was kind of funny that even last week she was talking about, what was it, like she was previously owned by like all these butchers and Elizabeth Bathory. And I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
boy, who said that? Who said that a few weeks ago before all this? So I don't know.
And Drew,
I still think it's funny for what it is. But no, if you're talking about the stronger segments of the night, absolutely not. I understand why the crowd is poo-pooing all over it. You know,
and
the dollars, yeah.
And Drew tonight talking about, you know, mother, abortion, And then Riddle, stepfather left, never came back. Childhoods. I'm not trying
there's
to.
There's some storylines out there. You're right. There's some weird ass shit going on with these storylines. Yeah. Riddle talking about his daddy left him. Fucking AJ comes out and says it's embarrassing. Dude, I was laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
You know, what? Your dad went out for a pack of cigarettes and never came home? Sorry about that, man.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint.
My third thing that I didn't like tonight has to do with something that went down tonight with those four. I told everybody by midnight we would do the contest. I never opened the box before, but you could see everything is still sealed in there. It has never been opened. And remember, I have a bunch of these. You go on eBay now, they're going for $200 a piece. The only bad thing is all the ones I have, I think all the shirts are extra large. I might have a double XL and I might have a large in one of them, but I think I have like 8 boxes still. So we're going to give them away once in a while. Next week's contest is going to be Bray Wyatt themed to it as well. But before we go any further, let's do the contest. Very easy. I'm going to pull up the episode of last week, and there is an option to pick a winner, and all it's going to do is pick someone's comment from last week at random. All you have to do before the show is over is go in the chat room and big bold letters, I'm here, I'm claiming my prize. If you don't claim it before we're done tonight, then next week that prize will be up for grabs again. So I'm going to do it right now, and we'll monitor the chat room, so no worries. So you have the entire night, so if you shout us out and we don't see it for any, you do not have to super chat to claim your prize. But what I am going to do right now is I am going to pull up this screen from last week. That is, if you've never seen behind the scenes with YouTube videos, that's the behind the scenes of my video. And if you look to the left, because I am a subscriber of TubeBuddy and vidIQ, and by the way, if any of you out there do have like podcast or a YouTube page and you've never tried out like TubeBuddy or vidIQ, go to tonight's episode because I have a link. I just signed up with them and you can get like a month free to try them out. And they help me tremendously. If you see like my thumbnails, they're not the greatest, but my thumbnails, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit better with the thumbnails and stuff. It really does help you in a lot of ways. It shows you things about your site that you wouldn't even be aware of. But all right, so what I'm going to do is I got this menu on the left. All I'm going to do is to this right here where it says pick a winner. Now choose from all comments from last week. So now I'm going to hit this green button. And Big Baller 07, if you are out there, all you got to do in the chat room tonight is claim your prize and the Wyatt collector's box is yours. That's it. Pretty simple. Big Baller. So, and I know we don't have the chat on the screen, but the replay is always on. So I will let everybody know the timestamp. You could go check out the chat transcript next week or after the show is over. So Big Baller, if you're out there, the prize is yours. If not, we will carry it to next week. Now, speaking of next week, if Big Baller claims his prize tonight, next week, this just came out also. I know we're giving away a one already from this past Thursday. I have another one, so why not give it away as well? So next week, somebody will win this. The new Foco. I think that's how you pronounce it. Foco. It is the Bray Wyatt that just came out. Pretty damn cool. Already on eBay, they're going for like $80, $90. So nice. All you got to do is, after tonight's show is over, in the comment section, just post a comment. Talk about whatever you want. Call me an asshole. Talk about Raw. Whatever you want. Next week, we'll randomly pick someone live on the show. Same format. You have until the end of the show to claim your prize. So, good luck. Good luck.
Very good.
Okay. Sheamus versus Ricochet. It felt like filler more than anything else. I mean, Ricochet versus Sheamus was fun. I mean, the way Ricochet sold that bro kick, my God.
Right.
I mean, even in defeat, Ricochet looks awesome. I'm getting sick and tired of John Morrison versus Damian Priest. I think this is five times already they've had a one-on-one.
You're sick of it? Dude, I fucking love these guys. Are you kidding me? No. These guys put on great matches, and they're both very charismatic. It's a good feud, man. I mean, I guess maybe because it's been five in a row, I totally get you on that.
Yeah, if Morrison got a win here and there, I'd feel a little different about it, but the outcome has been exactly the same. Remember, this goes back to WrestleMania.
Yes,
it does. With Bad Bunny, so I'm a little tired of it, but Miz with the Linda McMahon like today, or the Kevin Nash Nitro. Miz gets out of the wheelchair. Everybody shocked. He's not injured. He runs to the back. So what are the chances we get Damian Priest versus The Miz next week?
Probably. I wouldn't doubt that. I could see that. I'm kind of more interested. I'm kind of interested to see where they're going to go with Sheamus, Jomo, and The Miz, too. They kind of hinted a little bit of a temporary partnership there, too. So I could almost see Damian Priest, Ricochet, and then who would be the third? You know, to have a three-on-three. Maybe not at SummerSlam, but maybe at a match, at an upcoming Raw. Do you see what I mean? Like, there's a third missing. But, yeah, you got Damian Priest and Ricochet versus, well, maybe just Jomo and Sheamus. Maybe Miz will still be in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, interesting. Interesting little crossover. I still love Johnny Drip Drip. I think he's hilarious, you know. Yeah. So the I like that feud.
I don't think WWE put the dripsticks on sale yet, but I would want one.
But dude, I want to pick up one of those America's Most Wanted. That is can't be fucking goodness. That is hilarious, that shirt.
Yeah,
I want that, especially for the summer, for the ladies.
So we're going to get Damian Priest and Sheamus at SummerSlam, which is cool.
Yeah.
What else do we have tonight? We talked about T-Bar and Mustafa Ali already. Nikki A.S.H. over Rhea Ripley by DQ. You know, Rhea said what we've been saying the last 2 weeks. You know, almost doesn't keep you as champion. The more you keep saying almost, the more you're a fluke.
Right.
I don't want to be almost anything. There's not. I don't mind. I almost got this or I almost got that. But at some point, you got to get it. And the match tonight was okay, but Charlotte interferes to cause the DQ. The fans are getting a little bit anxious about Becky Lynch. Now it seems obvious. Becky Lynch will make her return at SummerSlam. The big question, now we're not doing predictions this early, but the big question is, could Charlotte actually win that belt at SummerSlam, and before it sinks in and pisses everybody off, Becky comes out and challenges her? Because I personally don't see Becky challenging Nikki A.S.H.
I could see that, but it's kind of like Nikki A.S.H.'s moment disappears pretty quick.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she just won Money in the Bank. She just got the title so fast. And for her to be hot-shotted in and out. But at the same time, it's like I wonder how much the fans really enjoy her. Obviously, the fans dislike Charlotte, and in a good way, because people want to see Charlotte get her ass kicked. People want to see Charlotte out of the picture, but she's so good at being the heel champ that it's almost like she needs the title just to keep the interest going in the women's division. Rhea Ripley, I don't know. I don't know where you're going to go with her. She has some positives to her, but overall, her matches are getting better.
Damage control is working.
I just don't see it. I get it, and I'm cool with it. People like her. Awesome. She just doesn't. She's not my flavor. I think that's what it is. Maybe it's just a personal thing. She just doesn't hit the bells and whistles for me. I like Nikki A.S.H. or Nikki Cross. I like Nikki Cross. I think Nikki Cross is a great underdog. We've talked about this ad nauseum. And a lot of people don't like the superhero gimmick. They think it's a little too much corn for someone who is competent enough to be in the title picture on her own merits. So you're stuck in a different scenario, but you're right. If Charlotte does pick up the title at SummerSlam, you'd almost have to bring out Becky either at SummerSlam or on Raw.
Yeah, it's got to be SummerSlam. you don't pass up the opportunity of 70,000 fans losing their shit when they hear the music.
Yeah.
So that's happening. But again, a shame, you know, I still, since they've done this superhero thing, I don't see where Nikki Ash has had one clean victory yet.
Right.
You really think about it. None. There's always been some special circumstance which led to a win. Sure. What else do we have? We have a shout out to Guardian of Chaos, my friend. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you.
I will post the link, Chaos. Remind me in the comments section later. 2-for-1. You remind me, I'll post it, and you might win next week. Let's talk about Randy Orton versus AJ Styles. Fun match. Throughout the whole night, they were teasing that Randy Orton does not want to team up with Riddle. Riddle did a phenomenal job with fans feeling sorry for him, almost like a puppy, where the owner gives the puppy up, and the puppy really wants to be with the owner. Please, Randy. Come on, Randy. Come on, you're here. Let's be a team. You know, can I be at your corner so in case Omos interferes? No. I'm better by myself. They did it the whole night. Wonderful job. The more they did that, the more fans wanted them together. So the match.
I had.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have flashes of the Rock and Sock connection. Randy Orton is too cool for the room, and he's pretty much the Rock in this scenario. And Matt Riddle is the kind of the dorky, cheesy guy who the fans are totally behind and want these two guys together. And he's playing the Mankind role. I see it. Obviously, Mankind and Rock are totally different fucking level than Orton and Matt Riddle, but I see similarities there. I see the similarities, and it worked tonight. It worked really well. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Shout out to Anthony Diaz. Anthony, I will do that for you in a moment. So throughout the whole night, the more Randy doesn't want to be around Riddle, the more people want it. So you know you're getting that at the end of the night. So we get a match. You know, Riddle's not at ringside. Omos kind of like distracting Randy Orton. So Riddle finally comes out. Now, earlier, Riddle ate a chokeslam from Omos when AJ, you know, came out and they were throwing, you know, some insults to Riddle and Randy Orton's way, which is, look, the title match at SummerSlam is happening. It's not even a question. Towards the end of the match, Riddle comes out, tries to get a little revenge on Omos. Omos basically takes care of him. And then, basically, as Omos is doing what he's doing outside the ring, AJ Styles goes for the forearm off the top rope, phenomenal forearm, and Randy Orton turns it into an RKO. Beautiful, gets the win. Then I thought one of the dumbest things that I've seen in a very long time. After the match is over, Riddle hits the ring, and Riddle wants them, let's be a team, let's be a team, and the crowd is eating it up. Yes, yes, you know. And Riddle finally gets sort of a yes from Randy Orton. Crowd loves it. We're about to go off the air. And then the dumbest thing in a very long time, Randy Orton hits the RKO.
Now, no, that's not dumb.
I'll tell you why it's dumb. If you, this is how I look at it, the obvious, snakes bite. If I want a pet snake, I have to understand that the snake may bite me. My bird, my African gray, is a wild animal. So I know that on occasion I will be bit. So I get that part. What pissed me off were the announcers. The announcers. Because I've been watching 20 years of RKOs. And every time an RKO happens, I don't recall an announcer ever going, ha, 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 I guess they are a team. Ha, 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 ha. You could have that same exact moment and have the announcers go, what? What? What did he do? How could you do that? Like, the announcers controlled which way this was going to go. Yes, it was obvious they're together and Corey, you don't trust the snake. But the announcers I like Corey, with the...
But you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious. I hated that.
Corey really should have leaned into the fact that Orton dropped that RKO on him. I totally agree. I don't want to say the announcers. I throw this one on the shoulders of Corey Graves because Orton throwing that on super babyface Matt Riddle, he should have leaned right into that. See, he never trusted Riddle. Riddle is a piece of garbage to him. Yeah. Riddle is just in Randy Orton's way. And Corey did none of that. It's like, I agree with you on that. But as far as actually dropping him.
Oh, you know, I was cool with that. Man, I was cool with that. That's Randy Orton's way of saying yes.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like The Rock did the same thing to Mankind with a rock bottom.
Riddle smiled. Well, it was painful, but. Hey, I got what I wanted.
Well, Orton smiled. It was nice to see Orton kind of petting his head and stuff like that at the end, too. It was a lesson.
Yeah.
Here's a fucking life lesson.
I have no problem with Riddle or Orton in that segment. My problem is the announcers.
I agree.
Making it sound cutesy. Oh, that's Randy Orton's way of saying yes.
Corey should have went full fucking heel. Totally agree.
Do both sides.
Totally agree. How can you trust a guy who just hit you with his finisher with the three most dangerous letters in WWE? Like, Corey should have went nuts. He should have went crazy heel at that moment. And you're right. Nothing.
Yeah. The announcers made it look like an initiation. I cut the finger. Oh, no. Yeah. He's part of the family. Oh, my God. I totally understood what went down. And I don't, again, I have, please, everyone, listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What Riddle and Orton did was fine. But the announcers playing it off like, oh, Randy does that to all the people that he loves. Come on.
Randy just RKOs his mother. He RKOs his kids, you know, school teacher, bus drivers, just everybody. Everybody gets a fucking RKO.
Yeah. Yeah. At the
Although I did like his RKO. I was very surprised for, look, just kind of rewinding a little bit, AJ doing that fucking, that jump off, what was it, halfway across the ring?
Phenomenal
form. And Orton still caught him. I was a little nervous, too, because it looked like Orton almost didn't get all that.
Yeah, it almost looked he buckled a little.
Yeah, it was almost a fucking botch, and almost. It could have been scary as hell.
Almost an injury.
Almost
a botch. It
was good. It was good. It was good. A good matchup. Orton and AJ put on a little clinic in there. And you know what? This is one of those times where a lot of people will say Randy Orton's a boring wrestler at times, and they're not wrong. But when he's on fire, when he's ready to go, when he's happy, when he's involved in a good storyline, when all the fucking stars line up, Randy Orton is the king of the fucking castle, and he did a great job tonight. And you can tell that the guy's happy again. He said he was off TV for 7 weeks. I bet he did get some rest. Did a little shut eye, went on some vacation with the kiddos and the wifey.
Maybe the maybe the vaccine.
He's feeling good. Well, yeah, that too. Maybe. And now he's back for SummerSlam. Yeah. He's in a good position. He's in a good storyline. He's working with people that he can work with. So
shout out to Andrew Seed. Much love, my friend. By the way, everyone, that little teaser during this week about AEW having a bad week business wise. Between Darby, Domino's, and Dark with Max Caster's rap. I'll save that for Wednesday when we talk about, Wednesday, because we're running short on time tonight. It would be sacrilegious if we didn't close out Raw discussion tonight with talking about Bobby Lashley and MVP today.
Absolutely.
I mean, I understand there's a lot of people out there that don't want to see him versus Goldberg. But I'm sorry for doing this for the third show in a row, but people out there need to take a chill pill about Goldberg. I'm fine with it because I understand his contract. We're going to get this next year. Maybe next year's Roman Reigns. We don't know. Goldberg is not winning a title. Goldberg will lose to Lashley within 3 to 5 minutes, tops. But for people losing their shit for weeks and weeks and weeks about Goldberg. Like I said the last couple of shows, it's like a little kid getting a vaccination shot for the very first time and sees a needle. I don't want the vaccine. I don't want the needle. Hey, Goldberg. No. Goldberg. Goldberg. That wasn't so bad. That's Goldberg. It's going to be 3 to 5 minutes. Lashley and MVP made it perfect tonight. Basically, they're going to... Lashley's going to beat the shit out of Goldberg. And son, what's his name? Sage, Cage, Rage, Gage. Yes. I think it's Gage.
Gage.
Keep your nose out of it. Like you said last week, Gage might get a shot in on MVP at SummerSlam.
Might get one shot.
But they sold it in like $1 million tonight. I want to see Lashley beat the shit out of Goldberg. And I like Goldberg.
MVP's entire promo talking about I'm a dad, he's a dad, I wasn't trying to hurt your son, I was giving him some advice to talk you out of this match before Lashley fucking ends your career. And I'm like, fucking MVP on fire again out of nowhere. And he's sitting there with he's just standing there with the cane just pacing back, like moving back and forth. And they had this beautiful side cam shot for most of that angle where MVP is in the front and he's talking and Bobby Lashley's just standing there with the sunglasses on, quiet, looking like a savage motherfucker. I love Bobby Lashley these days. MVP was the best thing that happened to Bobby Lashley, because without MVP, Bobby Lashley would still be doing hokey-ass skits and looking embarrassing out there. If it wasn't for MVP making Bobby Lashley into a megastar, I don't know what the hell. He's probably one of the best things on the damn show right now. And look, I know Bobby Lashley still talks here and there. I'm not a fan of it. I think Bobby Lashley should just let MVP talk. It's the Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman case all over again. Yes, Brock Lesnar can talk here and there, but we listen to Paul Heyman to say what's on everybody's minds. And MVP is really fucking skyrocketing more than his in-ring career, more than anything he's done before. This is his calling. This dude is one of the best managers that WWE has seen in a while. And I would put him up there. I would put him up there as one of the best. I'm just amazed by this guy to the point where I want to see more of him. I almost wish that he had a stable. I wish there was a friggin' family again. You know what I mean? You can go back to the Hurt Locker, the Hurt Business. But, I mean, I almost kind of miss it because it's like MVP is such a star. He is such an all-star shit talker. And I think, yeah, Goldberg, you're right. It's just going to be a painless 3 minutes. It is going to be what it is. We know that Goldberg isn't going to win. At least I think a majority of people don't expect Goldberg to win. And it's good for Bobby Lashley to crush a dude like Goldberg and to crush him quickly, which makes him even better.
I think Goldberg should have a match next week on Raw. Squash someone.
Oh, man.
Then lead to Lashley showing up and trying to. That's what
I think. You know what? I think you hide him. I don't think you give Goldberg more exposure like that. No, you just bring him out for SummerSlam, have him do the gig, have him do the job. You know what I mean? And you move on from it. You know, you maybe have Gage fuck around with MVP a little bit, have him get up in MVP's face, you know, something like that. Maybe to protect his dad, maybe MVP does some chicanery, maybe pulls out the cane and hits Goldberg with it, and the son comes in there and stops the cane. Something. There's going to be something with the son. But no, Goldberg's got to lose the match. Lashley has to remain savage. Lashley has to remain strong. And MVP can be the one that takes a little bit of the beating for the Sun. You know what I mean?
But he'll take a shot. Yeah. He'll take a shot. Make him look good. But decent Raw tonight. Flowed really well.
Yeah,
I did not feel like a 3-hour show tonight.
I saw a lot of mixed reactions online, and you know, a lot of people, their biggest upset, the biggest thing that people are all pissed off about is the Lily stuff. And it's like, well, you can't really argue with it, you know, but I'm not going to sit there and let one segment ruin 3 hours of an actually good show. So, yeah.
Once again, everyone, if you didn't check out Saturday's episode about the releases, do. It was an excellent discussion. Also, you know, a lot of people, you know, that did not tune into Thursday's show, I did a tribute to Bobby Eaton. So I posted it today as an individual clip. I posted it today as an individual clip. It's on my channel. So if you want to see the tribute to beautiful Bobby Eaton, go check that out. Because talked about it on Thursday. And honestly, nothing, we talked about it earlier before even the show. Nothing that I said on Thursday, there's nothing that we could add to it other than I am just floored by the absolute level of love and appreciation that is being shown to him right now. I mean, it was expected, but not on this level. I'm a little annoyed that WWE did not post the tribute box to him tonight. Yes, I know, you know, he was a WCW, NWA star more than anything else in the South, but still, you see that level of love online, I think, you know, a little name drop on TV would have been pretty cool, but we didn't get it. Yeah. So, some super chats that we did not discuss earlier. Now, obviously, one we just answered. Chris Silva, I'm with you, man. I am invested in this. I want Lashley to beat him 3 to 5 minutes. I don't mind if Gage even gets a shot in on MVP, but I want to see Lashley beat him. And I'm a Goldberg fan. I like nostalgia. If nostalgia is not embarrassing and, you know, it's taken seriously and it's in very, very small moderation, I'm fine with it. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, and the crowd reaction, I think, you know what's interesting? I think Las Vegas is probably going to boo him a little bit more than other areas. But Lashley, I think, will beat him handedly.
Yeah.
I think without a doubt. Agree. So, get into a couple of more shout outs. Ah, mighty, mighty. Did you see Murphy's little video on Twitter?
I have not seen the Murphy video, but I have been hearing buzz on it. So,
okay.
Looking forward to this discussion.
If anybody remembers the Tommy End video, if you remember the John Moxley, you know, teasing like the prison stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, this 4-minute video could have been done in half the time. The prison guy and the guy that wanted to take pictures, too long of a fucking conversation. Basically, the theme is that Murphy has been in jail for 9 years and 90 days. And, you know, he's pacing and he's angry and he's pissed off and his photographer is taking pictures of him. It's a decent produced video. My problem with these fucking prison videos is simple. I go to jail for 9 years. I might get paid 75 cents a week. That I might have to borrow money from home to buy cigarettes in the yard or underground. I don't know any fucking jail that pays six digits in pay. And you're in jail for 9 years. Was Murphy underutilized? Absolutely. Was he involved in some kind of dumb storylines? Without question. But people seem to forget that these guys got paid a decent salary. Jail? Honestly, give me a fucking break.
Right.
You don't stay in that company for 9 years, get paid a decent salary, and then act like you're in jail, you know, used and abused for 9 years and 90 days. That's my opinion about it. I understand creatively Murphy was in jail, and I can't wait to see what he does. But these videos exaggerate. Like, people seem to forget. How much money did you make while you were in jail?
Right.
That's my take on it. You were talking about this earlier, Brandon Jones. You were right. It was Darth Maul. I think you saw that before, but I want to give a shout out to Brandon Jones.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah. We were talking about the Bray Wyatt stuff earlier. Rojo Bear 24 says it looks like a Oni mask.
Ah, yes. Japanese Oni mask. The demon mask that follows you around after death.
I think he may got it. I think he may have it. I think that may actually be. Yeah, that's excellent. Very good look at that. Also, Rojo Bear is annoyed. Bronson Reed didn't have a chance in the main roster. Look, I don't know if you saw Saturday's show. Of all the releases, that one shocked the shit out of us more than anything.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Yeah, upside. Especially being a big guy, too. Big guy, good attitude, got a connection with the crowd. Yeah, he was definitely the one that we were all kind of like, why did they do that? So
we'll take calls. We're probably going to do about 15 minutes because we're already getting an hour and 25 minutes in here. So, you know, just all I ask, like I said, if you got a specific question, you're more than welcome to call in. But, you know, these four or five questions, you know, we're going to have to, like, start, like, tighten it up. I ask, and some understand and some seem not to.
Right.
We don't want to speculate what's going on with Dana Brooke. But if you want to say that about Dana Brooke, take note that we have not seen Liv Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't seen some people for quite some time. So you have to think about there's a few people. And please, just because Toni Storm is not on for 2 weeks, it's not the end of the world. You know, people need to relax a little bit with this stuff. I mean, I understand it gets a lot of attention on social media and acknowledgement, but, you know, let's take a step back and, you know, 2 weeks. Remember, Xia Li was off TV for 8 weeks, and then suddenly she got a championship shot. And for people out there that keep saying that NXT is getting rid of tiny people and old people, I could give you at least 15 people that are still on that roster that are not in the main event picture. That I'll say, well, then explain this person to me, or this person to me, or this person to me. You know. BC Reviews, thank you very much again for your generosity. That was very, very kind of you. I know we shouted you out before, yes. But that was so nice. We had to say it twice. So thank you. All right, see the cat? How's the cat?
Yeah. She's good. That's the middle. It's the middle child. She's all right. She's been very needy lately. Yeah. So.
What's her name?
That's all right.
What's her name?
This is Wednesday.
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 Nice. Yeah.
Wednesday right. Adams.
Wednesday yeah. Adams. I like that. For real. Yeah. Did you get the Adam Bomb stuff?
Yes, I did. I was going to save that. Maybe we can do like an unboxing or something next week.
Yeah, do it on your show. Do it for Wrestling Soup, man. Don't do it tomorrow. I want to open it up.
I'll do it topless tomorrow.
Yeah. Joe Punches, you're absolutely right, my friend. Releases are not permanent. Drew McIntyre is one of the best examples of that. And yeah. Mish, say hi to Mickey James for him. He feels bad. He's missing out.
Dude, don't even worry about it. Joe was going to come with us to St. Louis for the Empower event. Something came up. It's no big deal. Dude, plenty more events incoming. You know, I got Awesome Con that I'll probably be going to up in D.C. As long as everything still pans out with that. And then there's a few more events that are coming around, too. So, yeah, dude, plenty more fucking chances for us all to hang out and stuff.
In a minute, I'm going to show everyone a $2,000 WWE card that I forgot I had in my collection. And it's not really? Even autographed. I just showed a quick glimpse of it. You're like, what the hell is that? I wanted to show everybody tonight, anybody that's into card trading. In 2000, and I'll show you now, 2016... WWE had the Topps collection, and they had these special cards. For those that don't know, when Topps prints up these cards, baseball cards or anything, you know, Mish, how they do it. They have different color plates that they do. So, sure. Like, if you have, like, all right, this Finn Balor card that somebody won but never claimed it, so we're going to be giving this away again soon. All right, you see all the colors on there. They use a red plate where the card is just red. Then they use a black plate, and they use a different color plates, magenta, green, blue, and all the plates are put together, and it generates a beautiful-looking card. Well, yeah. What WWE decided to do in 2016 is they decided to sell, well, in packs, give away the plates. So the card can never be remade ever again. And several years ago, I got this one. I don't know if you could see it. Can you make out who that is?
Yeah, it's a little blurry, but yeah, I can kind of see it. It's
just magenta. This is the magenta plate for this card. You know who that is?
No. Who the hell is that? I can't make it out, dude. All
right, I'm going to turn it around. Does it have his name? Yeah, it does have his name. Check this out.
Jesus. It's all blurry for me. It's all blurry. Just say it.
It's Eddie Guerrero. Jesus. See, one of one.
Oh, is that Eddie?
Yeah. It's Eddie Guerrero. Okay. See, one of one.
Wow. This is
the magenta plate for the Eddie Guerrero card. There's only one in existence. This is the actual plate that they use to make the Eddie Guerrero card. One of one. There's only one of these. And I pulled it out of a freaking pack. I think it was Caleb Braxton from 2020 just sold on eBay for $750.
Jesus.
Beckett has this at $2,000.
Wow. That's amazing. I'm going to
probably throw it up on eBay, and whatever money I get for it, I'm going to put it towards my wedding. For real. I pulled it out of a card 4 years ago. Wow. I got some wild cards. I have an Eva Marie autograph card from her first stint, and I didn't even realize it's a refractor card, and it's like limited to 10. Beckett has it in the book for $650 or $640 or something, like $600. I got an AJ Lee autographed rookie card that somebody has on eBay right now for over $1,000.
Autographed rookie card. Sorry.
So, yeah, the Finn Balor, somebody. Not everybody claims their prizes, everyone. People like to play for fun. And honestly, tonight's contest looks like it's going to carry over to next week. So we'll probably pick two winners next week. One winner will get the Bray Wyatt collector's box that was not claimed tonight. And next week also, we'll give away this baby. So we'll probably have two winners next week. Even more of a reason to put in the chat. So, yeah, it was like $650 or $750, Caleb Braxton, because it's one of the printing plates. But it might have been autographed. So I don't want to, it was worth it, but crazy. Yeah, Pulled this freaking thing out of a pack. And the weird thing is, if you look at the tights, it looks like there's some spots on it. That's like dark magenta areas of his tights. So that actually is intentional. But,
wow,
go figure.
That's awesome, DT.
Yeah. So, want to take some calls for a few minutes?
Sure.
Yeah. If you want to jet out, you could jet out now, because we're right at 90. I know we said we were going to go 90. If you want to jet out.
Well, are you going to be on?
Yeah, I'll stay on for 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, let's do some 15 minutes
of
calls.
Yeah, that's fine. Do 15 minutes of calls, you know. Just like I said, if you could just keep it straight to the point. Oh, it would help if I did this. By the way, you know what a Stream Deck is, right?
Yeah.
I got a Stream Deck. So now I got shout out to our VIPers. Oh. Shout out to our channel members. I have the buttons over here. I could go like this and see the overlay pops up. The Stream Deck is awesome. And something else, I don't know if you're aware of it. Where did I put it? Hell, I put it. Shit.
Where'd you put it?
I don't know where I put it. Oh. This is supposed to be epic.
Oh, okay.
Elgato face cam. I'm sending my Logitech Brio probably back, and I'm going to probably hook this one up and try it out. But shout out again to our commanders of the Donzilla Army, the Elite. Don't forget, for my Elite channel members, drop down to the $499. Because that $999 one is, I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to get rid of it at the end of the month because not everybody is doing that right away. I appreciate some of you out there that are saying, no, 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 it's all good, it's all good. No, you're going to lose your membership if you don't drop down. So, all right. The phone numbers. It's on the phone. Hang on. I don't have everything programmed yet. There we go. Let me just check one more thing. All right, good. 833-366-8686, which is the toll-free number. Or you could dial 225-DON-TONY, which is 225-366-8669. I am going to take the Do Not Disturb off right now.
Oh, shit.
And we will start taking calls. We'll go, like you said, about 15 minutes in calls just to, you know, feel the room out, see if there's anything specific on your mind that maybe we didn't cover, or maybe you have something specific that you want to vent about. So I am taking it off the Disturb now. So you're welcome to call in. Yeah, here they go. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, DT, Mish, this is Nir. How you doing?
Hey, Nir. What's up, my friend?
What's going on, Nir?
Everything is good. Everything is cool here in the Holy Land. Let me do it short and sweet, yeah, because I know you don't have enough time. A quick question. If you have to bet on one female wrestler and one wrestler that is going to be released next, since we are still in the summer of Khan, who would you bet on?
One man and one female released?
Yes.
I hate doing these because I don't wish anybody's job, being taken away.
Yeah, me
away.
Too, but you know.
Yeah, no, but if you asked me honestly, I would really lean towards Dana Brooke. I just, unless they are planning something for her in NXT, I just think, you know, it gets to a point, like I said, it's nothing against her personally, but she's been there for so many years, and there's obvious things missing, and it just isn't clicking, and they've tried and tried and tried, and I don't doubt that she is a wonderful person, but this is a form of entertainment. And I'm sorry, I'm not entertained by her, and I'm just being honest. I mean, it sounds terrible, but, you know, TV and movie critics, you know, they're not going to be nice about someone simply because, you know, it's the right thing to do. You could hurt somebody's feelings. On the male side, boy, I'm not going to lie, man.
Before tonight, I would have said Corbin.
I am worried about Shelton Benjamin. Worried about Shelton Benjamin. I just think, you know, he's one of those guys that WWE is suddenly, like, doing nothing with. And, you know, he's had an awesome career. He could still go. I don't think he wants to be a trainer right now. So I'll go with Dana Brooke and Shelton Benjamin.
That's fair. I can go with that, too. You know, it's actually kind of funny what we didn't talk about, speaking of the bottom of the barrel. We didn't even talk about the fact that Reginald had his title defense tonight against R-Truth and Hideo, dressed up incognito as the new Rush Hour.
You son of a bitch, man. By the way, Nia, thank you so much for calling, my brother. Stay safe.
Thank you, dear.
You know, peace, without a doubt. Peace.
Thank you.
Be careful.
Peace.
Be careful, my brother.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah,
we totally.
Yeah, I'm so pissed off at totally that because I said to myself tonight, could they put him in a Jackie Chan movie? Seriously.
That's what it was. They're going to be the new Rush Hour, Hideo and R-Truth.
Yeah, it just, Hollywood, please call this guy. Call this guy. Put him in a movie. Give him, let him be, you know, a stunt double or something like that. It's just, I'm just not entertained. He's talented. What he does, he's talented. It's not easy. Someone to throw a shot at you and you flip 85 times to get out of the way. That timing, he's got the timing. But,
oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just not feeling it. To be honest with you, I agree. I'm not feeling it. I have nothing against the guy personally, you know, but you got to understand something. People need to remember it started with Carmella which was eh. And then they put her with Sasha, which was ridiculous. And then the whole Bianca-Sasha original storyline was because of Reggie. Then they put him with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, which now I'm getting gas thinking about it. Like, they have put him in a lot of bad storylines. And he didn't make those storylines better in any way. Just, we kept seeing him and we're like, why is this guy getting this much TV time? You mean to tell me that they saw him doing a circus act and they're like, oh, when we get back to live fans, that guy's going to be flipping all over the world. But first, we'll put him with all these women. Good evening, Your Honor. Who's this?
Hey, this is Steve.
Hey.
Rockland County. What's going on?
Oh, what's up? Rockland County. Very cool.
Hey, guys. Listen, I don't think a lot of people have been talking about this. Well, I haven't heard you guys specifically talk about this. But I think what's been going on with the WWE releasing a lot of these wrestlers for contract reasons, I think within a year, WWE is no longer going to be a publicly traded company. I think either NBC or some other Disney maybe picks them up. I really do. I think that's why they're clearing house, because what happens is, and Tony, I know you know about this with stocks and earnings per share and all this nonsense. So what they're trying to do really is trying to get their revenues up and their expenses down, so it looks better in the future projections of like cash flow of WWE. I think this is the true reason why they're getting rid of all these guys right now.
Look, it's a great observation. I don't ever criticize anybody who thinks that, because it does make sense. You see this, and you know, like Mrs. said, this is so all of a sudden. Like, all these years of carelessness, now all of a sudden, tightening up this much. I'll be honest with you. The only reason why I say no to what you're saying yet is because until the business world starts speculating this, I really don't put that thought in my mind, because if WWE was going to be sold to NBC or something else, that's not necessarily a good thing.
I mean, no, it's not.
You know, the internet bubble that burst in 2000, 2001 is the reason why WCW went out of business. I think if there was really concern that WWE may be sold within a year, I think a lot of these investors would have gotten out and the stock would have plummeted. And we have not seen that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? So this is what, I know a little bit about this, and I'm not saying I know everything. Yeah. I just know a little bit about something about this. So what they're trying to do is, it's like, actually, if you bought WWE right now, the stock, I don't know what the market cap is on the stock, but if a company came in, NBC, Disney, for example, came in and bought the stock at a higher price than it is right now, the owners, the shareholders, would be compensated for that. For example, if it's trading at, let's say, $25 a share, NBC comes in, okay, guys, we'll give you $30 a share. That's the premium over the market price of the stock. And everybody would profit from it. So in a way, that's what I'm thinking. And by the way, let me just add one more thing, and then I'll let you go, because I know you got a lot of people that want to talk to you. I think also, McMahon is not as stupid as people think. You know, everyone's calling him an old fart. No one here doesn't know what's going on. I think what he sees, the writing on the wall, is that wrestling, especially WWE or WWF wrestling, can never go back to the way it was. We're talking attitude error because of, let's say, for lack of better terms, political reasons or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The woke movement, whatever it is. Wrestling can never go back to that era ever again. And that was the cash cow for wrestling. And I think he sees the writing on the wall that it can never go back to that again. Let me get out now while I can. And that's, I'll just leave it at that, guys. Have a great night, everyone.
You too, my friend. Take care.
Okay.
Mish, I'll be honest with you, he brings a good point out that I think WWE does see the writing on the wall that there's no John Cena's on the horizon. There's no Rock's on the horizon. There's no mega stars.
They designed it that way, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a matter of megastars. Right. They've designed the company that way. Also, they're also locked into multi-year contracts with different companies. Did we just forget about Fox? You could say NBC and Disney all you want, but until that Fox deal is done, until the NBC deal is done, there's no way that they can sell without some serious repercussions. And also, let's point out the human factor. You want to sit there and believe that Vince McMahon is very aware? If you want to believe that Vince McMahon is very aware, then what in his personality in the last 40 years tells you that Vince McMahon is a quitter? I'm sorry. All these rumors about Vince getting ready to sell and he just can't cut it no more and he believes wrestling is dead.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, if Vince McMahon is anywhere near what Vince McMahon ever used to be, if that's the argument, Vince McMahon won't quit until WWE is in the ground. The expansions that they've done, the multi-expansions to the UK, India, et cetera, new expansions across the pond. Look, the budget cuts thing, the way I look at it, I think the budget cuts are so that they can expand even more. I think this is all part of the plan.
I think 3 to 5 years, it's a possibility. Sure. 1 year, I don't think so. 3 to 5, 5 to 10, yeah, I see that's a very good possibility.
When the contract is up.
Yeah.
When their Fox contract is up, their Saudi contract is up, when their NBC Peacock deal is up, absolutely.
I think
then we can revisit that. But in 12 months?
Yeah, I think WWE is doing this because of COVID and because of fear of serious inflation on the way. You know, steak, $45 sure. a pound.
Well, and chicken, then, of course,
$12 like a pound in some areas. Gas, double the price. You know, when you see that kind of skyrocketing, you know, I think WWE's trying to prepare for the future if we get some serious inflation. That's what it feels like to me.
And once again, the roster has been bloated for years. You know, it's just them catching up. I think that's literally what it is.
Yeah. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Oh, geez. Is this my favorite podcast team, the DT and Mish?
Yes, it is.
What's up, Morty?
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's me, Joe Punches. Jesus.
Joe, what's up, man?
What's going on, Joe?
I feel like everybody is Morty right now when it comes to these releases. Jesus Christ. I mean, everybody is so frantic, and I'm just like, they brought back Samoa Joe, and if we don't remember last year when Drake Maverick had his very serious, very sad videos, this is my life type thing. They brought him back, so people need to stop being so over dramatic about these releases. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's not. Right. I mean, I'm excited for what these guys will do outside the company if they bring them back.
Dude, why aren't more people fucking excited about where some of these guys can go? I totally fucking agree, man.
To both of you.
Instead of being so sad about everybody leaving, dude, now you guys got new matchups with some of your favorite guys. Yeah. Like, if you're this passionate about these people that have left, now they have the opportunity to work in other companies with new fucking talent, with other people you want to see them wrestle with. It's like, as a wrestling fan, it shouldn't be all fucking depressing. Dude. We should all be like, oh, holy shit, this guy might go to AEW. This guy might go to Impact. This girl might go to NWA, you know? Yeah, I totally agree, guys.
I keep having the same thought every day. If Kevin Dunn and Bruce Pritchard are so awful, if the WWE writing team is garbage, if there's so much about WWE that you dislike creatively, why would you get so angry when these people are let go? You'd rather them stay for a company and be used horribly than to see them maybe have a little more creative freedom and advance somewhere else. That's the thing. It's very easy, like I showed you earlier with that crumbling house. It's very easy to complain, criticize, rip, rip, put down, rip, rip, criticize, complain. But no one else out there gives you solutions, gives you opinions. Why would you want Ruby Riott to be stuck in a company where she's looking up at the lights 9 out of 10 matches? When she's getting squashed like a grape, that there is no room for her because you got the Baileys, the Bianca Belairs, the Sasha Banks, the Charlotte, Asuka, Rhea Ripley, and it goes on and on and on. You think they're going to do some crazy storyline out of nowhere that Ruby Riott suddenly is going to be the next Daniel Bryan? I mean, we feel bad because we miss her. We miss people that we used to see on TV all the time. But why all these people that bitch, why would you want that person to stay in the company and be used like shit? And no one ever answers that. That's why every time I see somebody bitch, I bite my tongue and I say, man, I want to hit that question to them so bad and watch them go, they don't have any fucking answer to that. Because yelling and screaming and Vince sucks and WWE sucks and Kevin Dunn is pathetic and Bruce Pritchard is this, this, and that, that's orgasmic to people's ears. They want to hear negative. WWE is so negative, but the people out there yelling are just as negative.
Worse.
Yeah.
By the way, if you let me hit two birds with one stone for a minute, for Anthony Diaz, he wants me to impersonate Mike Johnson from PW Insider. I used to do this back in the day. Dave Shearer, Wade Keller, Bruce Mitchell, Mike Johnson. Imagine them go to, like, they're in a bar and they're getting picked up by someone, or they see someone at the bar, male, female, I don't care. Hey, what do you do? Hey, what's your name? Oh, my name is Mike. Oh, yeah, my name is so-and-so. Can I buy you a drink? Oh, that would be great, great. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a writer. Really? For what newspaper? I'm sorry, what was that? Oh, I'm in a PW Insider. I still, PW Insider. I just imagine him at the bar. I mean, just Bruce Mitchell. Could you just picture him like, I write for the Torch. I write for PW Insider. What does PW stand for? Politics and Waste Management. You just imagine him at a bar trying to pick up. I had to do that for him. I'm sorry. I figured Joe wouldn't mind. Joe wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Real you're quick, right. though, before I...
Let's see where they go. Let them spread their wings. You know why people bitch? Because they know 9 times out of 10, they're not going to get paid the same money that WWE paid them. Yeah. That's why people bitch.
And real quick, just one thing I want to highlight before I skedaddle while I'm out of here. WWE is not dumb when it comes to the people that they release. They know it's going to cause a scandal. They know it's going to cause press release. They know it's going to cause Twitter threads throughout the things. They know what they're doing. And so people need to calm the F down. I mean, it's just they do things for a reason. And these people are going to come back, if not sooner than later. And it's the name of the game. The guy, Stone Cold, said years ago, they're all pokes and gears on a wheel. They're taken out. They're let go. They come back. It's nothing new. So people need to calm the shit down. And
totally agree.
That's it. I mean, it's not nothing new. I mean, this is very low-key, very 1995, 1996. Oh, shit, Lex Luger showed up in WCW. Oh, God damn. Look at that. I mean, it's very low-key that. I mean, it's not nearly to it that key, but it's what they're trying to make it to be. And, I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. I mean, just people need to calm down. This is nothing new. And any hoots, I'm going to let you guys go because I've been on here for...
Thank you, Joe.
Probably more.
Appreciate you, brother.
Love you guys. Appreciate you two guys, and I know I'll see you down the line. And Mish, give Suicide Squad a chance. I knew this.
Yeah, last week. I actually
It's fucking great, dude.
I got somebody who sent it to me, you know, without naming names. They wanted me to do a review with them. So I'm now beholden to watch Suicide Squad and do a little review on it with somebody else. So that should be kind of cool.
Side note, no spoiler. I lost money on this. You do not see any John Cena cock. You get close to it, but
damn it,
you don't.
But I know. But the real question is, would we have seen it anyways?
I would. God damn it, Mish. God damn it. You got me there. You see an outline. You see an outline. I'll give you that. I'll see. You get an outline.
All right, man.
I love you guys. Thank you for everything.
Okay, bye.
Love you, DT. Love you, Mish. I'll see you guys down the line when I listen to your quotes this week.
Be well, my friend.
All right, bro.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Joe Punch is good people. Big friend of the family. Shout out to you. And Anthony Ross wants to shout out all the Anthonys tonight. We got a lot of Anthonys to tune in live. My first name is Anthony. A lot of people don't even know that your first name is Anthony. We need another Anthony. No. I said one day we'll be Tony.
I only introduce myself as Anthony Missionary Thomas.
I know, they don't. They just think Mish. They just think Mish.
Right.
So, shout out, Anthony. Much
thank you,
bro. Thank you. Yeah, Anthony. Another Anthony.
Another Anthony.
Will Goldberg be in sloppy ring gear gym shorts again? Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
Sloppier the better.
Yeah. They're going to knock on the door. He's still going to do this
I hope
thing.
He has the drawstrings out in the front and one of them's lower than the other one and just dangling there.
I'm not going to start kicking right now, but of course he's going to. It's not even a question. I'm looking forward to it. I'm telling you. I will say this. Less than 2 weeks away from SummerSlam, I'm not feeling it yet. Not feeling it.
I'm starting to. I am anxious for us to get over the SummerSlam hurdle and start working on the real shit. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Yeah. Oh, Anthony King of Games. Yes.
Anthony wants to know. Any chance we think Trish Stratus shows up in Empire? I don't think so. I think Lita is a much bigger possibility. Man. Than Trish.
Dude, that's not the first time I've seen that. I've seen a bunch of people kind of throwing that out there, and Mickey hasn't said anything about it not being a possibility. If she shows up, do I think she's going to wrestle? No. But maybe she would show up just to support Mickey, just to be out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't know. They're not telling everybody anything, so it's really not known. Do I think that she'd get in the ring? I don't expect that at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if she shows up for like a little meet and greet. Because it's also, what is it, the 73rd anniversary of the NWA too? So it's like you got back-to-back on that, you know?
She might just be hanging out backstage with friends.
Yeah, that could be too.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. VJ, I don't think they're going to bring back Goldberg next week. We had that not too long ago where they brought out Goldberg. You know, it wasn't that long ago. If you remember, they brought out Goldberg, so I don't see it that quick. I don't. What did we think of Jim Cornette's tribute to Bobby Eaton?
So, you know, and I kind of talked about this on social media and stuff like that. Jim Cornette's tribute to Bobby Eaton was weight. It was heavy, heavy weight. I don't think, and I know I'm just reiterating what other people have said too, but it's something that is absolutely truth. I don't think I've ever heard Jim Cornette in that voice before. He was a guy who seemed lost. He seemed lost as a person. You can tell that Bobby Eaton meant the world to him. The way that that show started and the way that it ended was... it was hard to listen to. And it's wild because Jim Cornette has this exterior that people all know what he thinks. They know he's just a curmudgeon of a man and everything else, all these other things that people throw at him. And you hear a real moment that he had on his show when he's talking about his friend. And it was difficult to listen to. It's difficult to listen.
It was very beautiful.
Oh yeah, no, he loves them. It's just you could tell it was a real fucking moment, and it's a wild thing to see in the world of wrestling, to see those real fucking moments from people, you know, especially something so raw. It's good.
When it comes to Jim Cornette, I think you could probably count on one hand how many times he has truly let his guard down. And I think Bobby Eaton's passing and the tribute that he did is one of the very, very rare moments. Just because you cry doesn't mean you didn't let your guard down. You could tell that he let his guard down and just let it all out and paid tribute to his friend. And it was beautiful. It really was. Yeah. I mean, even people that despise Jim Cornette went out. And you know what? Jim Cornette even said some kind words to Tony Khan, you know, through someone else, you know, because a lot of people reached out to the family and everything. And that is, it was beautiful. If you look, be prepared, you know, to get a little bit choked up, even if you were not a fan of Bobby Eaton or you don't even follow Cornette all that much. The real feeling, the power of the friendship comes through big time. Right. It was, I listened to it Sunday and I was really taken back by it, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And last super chat for tonight, Joe Punches wanted to shout out Harris B. Compliment means the world to him. Not worthy, though. And all of you in the chat room, you know, you could rewind and you could see in the chat room what he's talking about. So much love. Joe Punches just wanted to shout out Harris B. And shout out to Harris, by the way. Good people. Good people. So maybe we'll take one more call and then that's it for us tonight. You know, obviously, you know, I failed on having this show end in 90 minutes, but I will tell everyone, be prepared, you know, later this week and next week. I have to. I love doing this stuff for all of you out there, but, you know, my body is starting to give me some serious signs that, you know, I got to start being a little bit more careful. You know, losing weight is not the be-all, end-all with things. It's just that I can't live on 2 hours of sleep, 2, 3, 4 nights a week. It's starting to catch up to me. So, but I feel good right now. I feel good. So, you know what? Maybe we'll just call it tonight. I just realized I had it on Do Not Disturb. So we'll call it that. We'll call it now. If anybody wants to get a couple of quick shout outs, let me just switch this back. Shout out to SM Punk. Yeah, tomorrow, Tony. Well, tomorrow's Patreon, and tomorrow, you know, VIP questions, cartoon finale, comedians tournament. That's pretty much the gist of tomorrow. So we're going to have some fun. Just putting some random comments on the screen. Some of you, big shout out. Joe Punches, thank you very much. Mystery Man loves Jim Cornette's podcast. Russell, good tribute to Jim Cornette. As you could see, and you know what?
Yeah.
Do you have any? Really good. See, I like when our Facebook friends show up, or Twitch or Twitter, but the thing is it gets buried so quickly on here. I don't have anybody to pull up over here. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm messing around with you know, the little technology a little bit further. Things are starting to get a little bit easier on my end. If you notice, all of the animated stuff tonight we had no problems with. And, that's pretty much it. So let me thank Mish for, once again, a banger of a show. And
thank you.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll have a boatload of fun on Patreon. And have a good night, my brother, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Much love, everyone. Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Have a good night, my friend. Take care. So, everyone, unfortunately, the prize tonight was not claimed. So what that means is that next week we will carry it over and we will pull another winner. And I'm sorry for, the person who was chosen earlier, Big Baller. You know, unfortunately, he didn't claim it, and we got to be straight up with the contest. We can't be pull favors. I mean, Nero Fay, one of the most beloved, liked people in the chat room, he won a contest two Thursdays ago, and he fell asleep. And, you know, when you have that many people enter a contest, it's unfair to everybody else who participated. So that will carry over. So once again, this will carry over next week. Hopefully we will have a winner next week. And then, next week we'll pull a winner for this. So two different winners. We'll have two different contests. So I'm going to jet out of here. As always, if you don't mind, if you enjoyed the show, hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you know anyone out there that you think that would like this channel, let them know about it. Because word of mouth really helps us quite a bit. And post a comment, be great. I interact with everyone. I must have responded, no bullshit, I must have responded to about 300 comments this weekend. Between the 2 weeks worth of episodes, I mean, I responded to a ton of you. And I got to thank all of you for the well wishes in the community section. I'm realizing quickly that hanging out with all of you on Discord or posting in a community section is 1,000 times better than posting something on Twitter. You know, it's just, I see the response. I mean, we had about 85 people comment on, just something from Friday. And that may not sound like a lot of people, but Twitter, you might get some likes. You might get 2 or 3 people to respond. You'd be lucky if you get 5 to 10, but one post, 85 comments. And that wasn't even for a contest. So I'm going to jet out of here. Everyone have a great night. If you're part of our Patreon, you can join us tomorrow at 10:05 p.m. on the Patreon Discord. If you want to check out the Patreon, it's patreon.com/DonTony. And otherwise, I'll see you Wednesday. Wednesday, we got Dynamite, and we'll preview Rampage. And we'll see what happens with NXT this week. I don't expect major changes to NXT this week. Right before TakeOver? I don't think so. But be interesting to see, if we have any debuts or returns, which I hear in the next week or two, we may actually have 1 or 2 pop up. So, all right, everybody. Be well. Have a good night. And I'll catch you all again either tomorrow or Wednesday.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.